Hey, it's Trisha. Today's podcast is brought to you by Fuel Up Hydration. Order yours at fuelup.hydration.com/Sandy.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sandy Show. Wherever you are and however you are listening, from sea to shining sea, thank you very much for making us a part. Are you being a part of the best part of our day? You can find us all over the place. Instagram at The Sandy Show Official. Facebook at The Sandy Show Radio. If you only get to listen to the first part of the show and you want to get caught up on everything else, music and commercial free, you can download The Sandy Show Podcast. You can do that on the iHeartRadio app and anywhere else that you get your podcast. My name is Sandy. Why don't you step up to the microphone and tell everybody who you are?
Mm-hmm. My name is Trisha.
She's my wife. That makes me her husband. It makes her for 20 something hours of the day. Well, any hours that we're not doing the radio show, Trisha's the boss. But for right now, I'm the boss. And guys that are listening, I'm okay with that. A lot of guys would be like, oh, my wife would never be the boss of me. Mm. Nah, I'm all right with it. I'm okay.
I think it's just because I wore you down.
Well, I know that you have a lot of grit and determination with things, mm-hmm. and you're not going to change. You're not going to let anything go. So why battle? Pick your battles.
A backhanded compliment, right?
I guess you could see it that way if you're sensitive to that.
Or, Trisha, you do have a really, really good efficient way of doing things, and you seem to know a little bit more about what's going on around here than I do, so I'm just going to defer to you.
Yeah, but even the suggestion that maybe we could do it a different way meets great resistance.
Mm-mm, absolutely. Yeah. Not.
Maybe there's a better way. Mm-mm, nope.
A better way of doing what?
You can't put me on the spot. I'm just saying, I just don't offer them up. Trisha is very much like her grandfather. Mm-hmm. It is her way, like it was his way, or it's the highway.
Well, it's not just off the cuff. It's after years and years of experimenting and trying things and settling on this is the way.
Yeah.
This is the way.
This is the way. It is very, I guess, not humbling. It's very... I think it's smart that you realize that in this space, I know what's best.
Oh yeah, I don't know more about this than you do.
That's real hard for me to say. I was going to say that had the hurt coming out of your mouth, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to save that.
Oh, you're going to save that clip.
Mark this, will you, so I can get this later. I can do all kinds of stuff with this.
I feel like that'll just show up randomly throughout the show from now on.
Yeah. Why don't you share with us the first thing that made you laugh?
I'm definitely the friends you meet through other people. I'm not outside enough for you to just stumble upon me.
Oh, yeah, you're one of those. You're not out there making new friends.
There was a clip of a guy sitting in his car all frustrated, and he goes, "Where are all the ladies who like to stay home?" And then it cuts to this woman sitting on her couch eating Cheez-Its, and she goes, "We're home." That's why you can't find us.
They're at home.
Yeah.
That's Trisha for you. Very much a homebody for sure.
Love being at home.
Coming up on the show today, Trisha, I would like you to bear a little of decision making during the show today. Well, I don't have to think about it. What category you want to play in Song Quest?
Oh.
Okay. I got a million other things to think about. Also, rapid fire Q&A coming up. Also, the story we love. She's Trisha. I'm Sandy. We've got more coming up. Morning, it's the Sandy Show, being brought to you by R Bank, your comprehensive solution for business or personal financial needs. Explore more at www.r.bank. Member FDIC. Hey, Trisha, let's do a round of the good stuff. Nothing but good news stories. Good people doing good things, because it's so... You know, people don't hear enough of it, right?
Yeah, all you get's the bad news.
Can I tell you real quick before we get into this, a funny text exchange that I had over the weekend? And I'll make this quick, because there's nothing more annoying than someone reading text to you.
Uh-huh.
It's like someone telling you their dream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's super annoying, but I'll do it anyway. I got a text that said, "Hi, Lisa, please cancel my golf class next week. I'm Diana. Thank you." I wrote back, "Hi, I'm not Lisa, but always remember to keep your head down and follow through."
For golf.
She writes back, "Oh gosh, I'm such a careless woman. I dialed the wrong number. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." I wrote back, "No problem," with a heart.
Oh.
And then she wrote, "Thanks. If you hadn't warned me, my plans for next week would have gone out the window. If you're ever in LA, I'll buy you coffee and thank you in person.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
You just made an internet friend. Like one of those stories that goes viral and in like 10 years,
we spend Thanksgiving together.
And then you have Thanksgiving and Christmas together.
You know what? I'm going to see if there's a way that I can attach this file to a text message somehow and send it to her.
Oh, that's funny.
That would be really, really weird. Let's do the good stuff.
Yeah, man, that's the good stuff.
All right, friends, if you've been with the show at all, you know that if we have a good organ donation story, we're going to tell you about it. Our best friend Scott's life was saved 15 years ago when he got a liver transplant. So check this out. There's a dude in Kentucky. His name's Chase Cooper. He was diagnosed with stage 4 renal cancer and requiring a new kidney to survive. His wife, Kayla's social media led to finding a stranger by the name of Hannah Durbin to offer her kidney.
Wow.
So they went out to social media and some complete stranger saw it. Was like, yeah, I'll get tested. They were a match. Bada boom, bada bing. Guy got a new kidney.
That's an instant ticket to heaven, don't you think?
I agree.
Yeah, man, that's the good stuff.
All right, you have this really great one about people's lives being saved, a human. I have one about a cat's life being saved, Sandy. There's firefighters in London rescued a cat named Oreo who was stuck in the chimney for 2 days. He ran up the chimney because his owner was vacuuming. Apparently, it's universal that animals are terrified of the vacuum cleaner. So she called the fire brigade. They live in England.
Oh, the brigade.
Doesn't that sound cool?
Yeah, I just picture guys like from a cartoon running with a ladder and passing a bucket of water.
And the siren's all woo. And somebody's cranking it, crank siren.
Yeah.
It took him 3 hours to get Oreo out of the chimney, but he's safe and sound, and maybe she doesn't vacuum anymore. I don't know.
But Oreo's safe.
He's safe.
Good. Yeah, man, that's the good stuff.
The famous author James Patterson is showing his appreciation for booksellers and librarians by handing out hundreds of bonuses totaling over $300,000, and he acknowledges their vital role they play in society. The article goes on to say the Along Came a Spider author calls booksellers and librarians unsung heroes whose efforts are crucial, especially now that they face increased scrutiny and challenges.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. $300,000 for booksellers and librarians. I love that. I just got a library card last week, by the way.
You did?
Yeah, I did. There's a lot of cool stuff at the library. It was super easy to do. I just went online.
Landry and I went and got our library cards, but then we only went like a couple of times and let them expire.
Mm.
What made you go do that?
I just was like, why should I buy this book that I want when I can go to the library and get it for free?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, man, that's the good stuff.
Trisha, I think you're good stuff. It's the Sandy Show, and we are thrilled to collaborate with our bank. Easily open an account online at www.r.bank. Member FDIC. Trisha's got the story we love for us in just a moment. What do we got?
All right, I have a Loch Ness Monster story. I haven't talked to you guys about Nessie in a while.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is big.
Trisha prefaces, for those of you that may be brand new to the show, Trisha is a believer in the Loch Ness Monster.
Yep.
And a Bigfoot believer.
Yep.
Okay, I know.
Y'all.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking.
After you hear my story, you're going to be a believer too.
All right, that's coming up in just a second. Trisha, there is a new fashion trend, something that was searched last week on Google more than anything. And at first it sounds really stupid, but I want you to get a pair because I think they're hot.
Oh.
You want to know what they are?
I don't know. Do I?
Crochet pants.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. They're
I'm not
hot.
Going to.
They're super hot.
Because they're super see-through. Crochet has big holes.
These are not see-through. They're covered. They're crocheted and then there's a layer. But they're really like 1970s groovy cool.
I feel like I'm wearing my grandmother's afghan around my body.
I'm telling you, they're a modern version. They're really
I don't know.
Cool. Google it.
I'll Google it.
All right.
I'll fire up the Google and see what it looks like.
I dug through your clothes and I got your size and ordered you a pair.
The stories we love.
So after 90 years of unsubstantiated Loch Ness monster sightings, Scotland's Loch Ness Center, there's an actual center dedicated to Nessie Sandy. They've turned to some help, some big time help to help them find the Loch Ness monster. Would you like to know who it is, Sandy? It's NASA. They're trying to get NASA involved in helping them finally, once and for all, locate the Loch Ness monster.
That gives them no legitimacy. NASA's going to go, shut up.
No.
I'm trying to get NASA involved in something too. Does that make me legitimate for whatever my stupid thing is?
They are hoping at the Loch Ness Center, the LNC, by the way. They're hoping that social media is going to help them reach NASA. They're wanting power of social media to get the word out to NASA that they're looking for help. And then here's what she said. We're asking NASA, experts from NASA might have some advanced imaging technology. To scan the lock. We'd have to sit down, though, and talk to him about how to get it here.
Yeah,
she's already into logistics.
Here's something I got to tell you. There must be a lot of people like you that believe in this nonsense. Because, let me finish, because 60 Minutes, one of the most respected television shows in American history.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I don't know how much money they spent, but they sent a reporter and an entire camera crew to Australia to talk to lunatics like you that think that the Tasmanian tiger is still around.
Ooh.
It's been extinct since 1940, but they say they see it. Of course, grainy photographs can't afford. These people must be so poor, they can't get a decent camera.
Can't get a cell phone or a decent camera.
I was watching this going, you've got to be kidding me. This is 60 Minutes and they sent a reporter to Australia.
Yeah. Because this stuff is no joke, Sandy. Since Sir Edward Mountain was the first one who claimed to have seen the monster, there have been over 1,100 sightings of Nessie. 1,100 sightings.
I'm telling you, I watched the 60 Minutes thing, and you need to watch it, because I was watching it and just like, you people are liars.
You're not liars.
This guy has spent 30-something years saying that the Tasmanian tiger is still out there. No, it's not.
What if it is?
It's not.
You know, scientists are trying to bring back the woolly mammoth and the dodo bird. What if somebody did it and just didn't broadcast it?
Well, that's another thing. They think they can reverse engineer a Tasmanian tiger. Anyway,
all I know is if NASA accepts the mission,
oh, stop.
I'm sure we'll finally get some clear, crisp pictures.
I feel dumber now than I did a few minutes ago.
Don't tell me there's not some teeny tiny part inside your body and your brain that's like, but what if? 1,100 sightings, Sandy. They put sonar under the water and heard weird sounds. How do you account for that?
I don't argue with idiots. Is that your story?
That's my story. I'll keep y'all updated. You know I will.
Stay with us. More coming up. Trisha's bearing the responsibility of picking the genre of music that we are going to play in Song Quiz. This is a game on our Alexa. We've taken somebody in the world. I mean, we're international with
this.
We've
gone international like 3 times.
Yeah, we took on somebody in London. We've taken on lots of Canadians, and we normally win. But we've also kind of gone with our strengths. Classic country, 80s.
Yeah.
Boy bands, girl bands, we won.
Which I was shocked about that. We are stepping outside of our comfort zone a little bit.
So now, Trisha, I've given her the responsibility of picking today's genre. What are we going to do?
We're going to do 70s, Sandy. 70s for 1,000.
Echo, play Song Quiz.
Welcome back to Song Quiz. How many people want to play Song Quiz?
One.
Choose a pop music decade.
1970s.
Starting your 70s game.
Oh, boy.
Your opponent is Tristan from Maine.
Tristan.
Question one, for 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
Oh, I got it. The boys are back in town. Foghat?
You got the title for 10 points.
Who was that?
The artist was Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy, I knew that.
Tristan answered correctly. Your score is 10 and Tristan's score is 20.
Oh.
You just unlocked the hint lifeline.
Oh.
If you're ever stuck on a song, try saying, lifeline. Question 2 of 5, for 10 points. After the music stops, name the song title and artist.
Miller. Steve Miller Band, Space Cowboy.
The song was Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's
hard.
Lynyrd
Skynyrd. Tristan answered correctly. Your score is 10 and Tristan's score is 40.
Oh boy.
Question 3 for 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
Billy Joel, Billy Joel, Piano Man.
Whammo. You got the full 20 points.
On the last one?
Tristan answered incorrectly. Your score is 30 and Tristan's score is 40. Question 4 for 20 points.
Steely Dan.
Lifeline.
The song was Have You Ever Seen the Rain by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Okay, let's do Lifeline.
Tristan answered correctly. Your score is 30 and Tristan's score is 60.
Ugh.
It's time for the song quiz bonus round. Question 5 for 40 points.
Lifeline.
You activated your hint Lifeline to get a different clip from the same song.
Okay.
You can only use it once a game. I'll play it now. But you don't give up.
In my world. I have no idea.
Don't know.
The song was What You Won't Do for Love by Bobby Caldwell.
Ugh.
Now you're all out of lifelines. Tristan answered correctly. Your score is 30 and Tristan's score is 110. Tristan won. Burn.
Tristan kicked our butts. That's embarrassing. That's our new timeout corner. 70s. We have to keep doing this genre until we win.
That was weird because I knew all those songs. I just couldn't remember titles or artists.
Oh my gosh. 30 to 110.
Embarrassing.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's a child of the 70s.
I know, right?
Wow.
My favorite decade. Embarrassing. stick around. We've got more coming up. Trisha has prepared 3 questions for me. We call it rapid fire Q&A. What you got?
All right, Sandy, here's your first great question that I've come up with for you. Have you ever spectacularly bombed in your job? You have a position where you're up in front of a lot of people, a lot of times in person, talking on the radio live. Have you ever just spectacularly bombed?
No.
Never?
No.
Not a single time?
Never once. I'm really, really good at this.
Okay.
Public speaking, things like that, emceeing. No.
You really are. But I mean, everybody has a little rut-row.
I've got my go-to bag of tricks.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got, you know, I got go-to that I know things that are going to get laughs. And
right.
You know what I mean?
But I mean, like if something weird happened, unexpected during the show or during an event.
The most unexpected thing that ever happened was emceeing an event and Robin Williams stormed the stage.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
And I was smart enough
to shut up,
to get out.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, we did a couple minutes, maybe a minute together of just banter. And then I was like, you know what, Robin, I'm going to duck out. And it was a surprise that he was there.
Yeah.
And he took over and he was so kind afterwards. He was like, oh man, did I ruin your set?
He
thought I was a comic.
Oh.
And he goes, did I ruin your set? I'm like, no, dude, you're Robin Williams, man. It's all good. Don't worry about it. He took a photo and then unfortunately took his life shortly after that.
That's a cool, great story.
Wow. That's true.
I know. All right. Here is your second question. If you were offered $1 million and you had to sing a song word for word without messing up in order to get that $1 million. No mistakes at all.
Without messing up.
Word for word, no mistakes.
Doesn't matter how well I sing it.
No, it's not the point of how well you sing it. It's word for word, no mistakes. If you do it, you get $1 million.
It would be the...
My question is, what song would you pick?
It would be the Lord's Prayer that we sing in church, Our Father.
Yeah.
I would mess that one up.
I didn't even think about it. Like, I was thinking of like songs. Heck, I'd sing Happy Birthday.
There you go. Yeah. Happy Birthday. And I could mess that up.
Yeah.
So I would do that.
It's a loophole in the $1 million song question.
Yep. Either that or I could do Pieces Flowing Like a River. If you remember that one.
No.
If you grew up in Catholic grade school, you remember that one.
I do not know that.
Yeah. Trisha's a heathen.
I'm not a heathen. I'm just not Catholic. All right. Finally, Sandy, here's your last question. I feel like this one's going to put you on the spot a little bit. If all of your exes got together, sat at a table, talked about you, what would they all agree on?
What would they all agree on? Ooh, man. They would probably all agree that I was difficult. Surprising. I would say difficult.
Difficult?
To be...
Moody?
Moody, yeah. That's probably a better word. Moody.
Okay.
Is probably. That's what I... What do you think they would all agree on?
I totally agree with you. I 100% agree with you.
I think that's what they would probably all agree on.
But like, not so much as you get older.
Well, I mean, to be honest, not since I quit drinking.
Yeah.
Not nearly as much.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what they would probably agree on. Other than that, they'd probably say it's a good time.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, there's one other thing they would agree on, I think. I mean, I just think, but.
That's Rapid Fire Q&A. Stick around. We got more coming up on 103.1 Austin's 80s station, online at 1031austin.com and streaming on the iHeartRadio app. It's funny how sometimes information comes to you like when you really need it or interested in, and it happened to Trisha and I, and that we found an article that is written by an FBI agent. FBI agent was asked, it's about dating, and these FBI profilers tell you things that you should look for if you're going to screen your daughter's dates.
Yeah, they're saying that these things you can profile about an individual helps you predict behavior.
Right.
Yes.
And they're the last one I would have never thought of, and it's genius. Something you can do. Here you go. They say run a background check. That means check social media, personal profiles. What are their videos like?
Mm-hmm.
What are their photos like? Look into their favorite movies, books, games, stuff like that. Criminals usually get their ideas in a movie.
Yeah, so if they like a bunch of bad, shoot them up, kill weird movies like that, yeah, might be a red flag.
Also, they say to evaluate how they dress. Is he dressed appropriately for a date? It's important because what a person wears reflects their overall level of judgment, right?
Yeah, like did he dress appropriately? Did he put some effort into looking nice to come and pick up your daughter?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
The parents.
You show up looking like a slob and you stink, that's not good.
Yeah, that's a red flag.
Here's one, maybe a little bit sensitive to people, but I'm just saying what this FBI profiler says you should look at when your daughter is dating. Tattoos and piercings. Again, just an FBI agent, not me saying this. They say generally the more visible and in your face tattoos and piercings are, the more they represent a cry for attention.
They're saying it's like a look at me kind of thing is what the profiler is saying.
Right. And it gives you an insight into their character.
Yeah.
Got one more thing. I'd tell you the one that really, really surprised me, but here's one that I'm definitely going to do. Check his car as they drive away.
The car and license plate.
Heck yeah. Absolutely. And don't show up here in some red hot Camaro.
You know what I mean? And peel out. No, sir. Don't let me hear your bass playing before you've even turned onto my street.
Yeah.
Don't honk from the car. Yeah.
You imagine the fight you have when you turn to your daughter and go, you're not going out with him.
Yeah. Don't let there any Calvin peeing on anything be a bumper sticker anywhere in your car. That's a no.
And don't have a no fear sticker on your car because I'll give you something to fear.
You got to have a lot of fear.
Yeah. Finally, and I think this is genius, they say let the conversation stop and see how he fills the pause. Beyond red flag references to your daughter, you need to look for things that he'll talk about. Is he a communicator? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is he polite?
Right. Is he, when you stop talking, is he just fold his arms on his chest and just shut down and doesn't know how to interact? Is he not polite? Or does he know how to talk about like weather, sports, current events?
Can he carry a conversation?
Exactly.
Can he be interested? There's nothing. I don't know what I would think if Landry started dating some guy that just didn't have any BS.
Yeah.
You got to have BS.
Well, I think too, though, I mean, I don't know. She's energetic enough and so freaking funny that I don't think she'd pick a dud.
I don't think, no. I mean, she probably should will adapt your role. If you're not funny, I can't be friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
She's got a little bit of a level of confidence regarding the humor level and whoever just she goes on a date with.
Just think about the girl who starts dating whose dad is the FBI profiler.
Yeah. That girl. Good luck getting a date, little friend.
No kidding. It's very, very interesting. Stick around. We've got more coming up. I don't know what took you so long to tell me about this Saturday Night Live that was on Saturday night.
Because I just watched it last night. Oh, my gosh. I have not said these words in years and years and years, but Saturday Night Live was hysterical on Saturday night.
All right, we'll get to that in just a second. Hey, not to be weird, did you hear about the conjoined twins that passed away?
Yes, Dory and...
George.
George, but it used to be Dory and Lori.
Yeah.
And then one of them transitioned to George. And yes, but they lived to be like 62. They weren't expected to live past like 30.
Yeah, they defied all medical explanation.
Yes.
They were conjoined at the head, but they had separate brains. They tried as much as they could to live their individual lives. They went to work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them got a job at a hospital laundry. And the other one, you know.
One of them played gigs, played her guitar and sang.
Yeah, one of them was a bowler.
Bowler. And
stuff like that. So they passed away. They were 62 years old. What it's an amazing story if you think about it.
I read that article and one thing that they said was they had been asked if one of you dies, does it automatically mean the other one dies? And they said, no, if given enough notice and we can be rushed to a hospital, then the twin who is dying or who's going to live, we can be separated so that the living twin continue on.
So they could have been separated and chose not to?
No, I mean, I guess that maybe something happened. I don't know how they died. Something happened. They couldn't be safe. They shared 30% of their brain. I don't know how they could have been separated.
Oh, I thought they had their own. Oh, that's right. It was. Yeah. Anyway, that was an interesting story that happened 62 years old.
The stories we love.
All right, so I finally watched SNL from Saturday night. Ryan Gosling was the guest host. Chris Stapleton was the musical guest. It was hysterical.
You watched it last night?
I watched it last night, but it came on, obviously, right. Saturday night. I just didn't get around to it. So Gosling is known for cracking up during skits. He's been on SNL before and cracking the other cast members up. But I don't know what happened. They all had a case of the giggles on Saturday night because they literally cracked up in every single sketch. The opening was Ryan Gosling. It star-studded, too. It was Ryan Gosling coming out and talking about how he wasn't going to talk about Ken, but he did. Emily Blunt, who's his co-star from The Fall Guy, she joined him. They sang a Taylor Swift song. But the opening sketch was the alien abduction scene. Remember
classic.
With Kate McKinnon?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they all died laughing the entire time. That's what makes it fun to watch when they break character. Then they did a Weekend Update, which they had a surprise guest, Caitlin Carter. Listen to this.
I can't play like you do.
Yeah, we know. And obviously, I can't tell jokes like you do.
Thank you for that.
But I did write some jokes, and it would mean a lot to me if you read some of them. Just right over there on the cards.
Well. The Indiana Fever have the first pick in this Monday's draft. A reminder that Indiana Fever is a WNBA team and not what Michael Che gave to dozens of women at Purdue University.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
P.S. is Caitlin Clark, not Carter. I'm not sure why I said Carter. Sorry about that. Michael Che apparently has been known to make fun of women's sports. And so she slid up to the desk as a guest commentator and she made him read some of the jokes that she put out. But I will say, hands down, the best skit of the night was the Beavis and Butthead skit.
That made me laugh hard and I haven't laughed at Saturday Night Live in a long time.
Oh, it was as if one of the cast members who was in the skit, who was acting, they were doing a News Nation bit. She was acting as one of the commentators in News Nation and
was interviewing
somebody and behind her was Ryan Gosling dressed up as Beavis. And it was like she wasn't there for rehearsal because when she turned around and looked at Beavis, she lost it and could not recover from laughing.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's what made it so much fun.
It's worth watching on YouTube too.
Absolutely.
Very, very funny. And then Butthead showed up too.
Yeah, Chris Stapleton, he got into a sketch. He didn't just sing. I mean, it was huge. It was a big Celebrity Night. Chris Stapleton was pretty good.
Wouldn't you love to see Saturday Night Live come back? I mean, they've been down for a long time, and maybe they're just ditching the political stuff.
Maybe so, because, I mean, beyond the news break, there wasn't a whole bunch of political stuff that I saw. So it was just funny. You guys definitely need to check it out.
That is the story we love. Stick around. We've got more coming up.
Hey, it's Sandy. Make sure you check us out every morning from 6 until 10 on Austin's 80s station, 103.1, and streaming on the iHeartRadio app. Stick around. Another episode should start in just a second.